I don't know if any of you have ever sat in those shoes across from the side of a financial coach or counselor, but it's incredible. And I love it because it's talking about these expenses that may or may not be necessary in your life. But I'll tell you what, we're going to talk about money today. And I know you're so excited. Are you guys excited to talk about money? Three people are. The rest are like, why did we choose this Sunday to come to church, right? But I'm so excited to be here. I'm going to tell you a little bit about who I am, and then we're going to get started. I promise you, you'll have a little bit of fun today, and I pray that what God has asked me to share this morning might help you. My name is Joe Sengel. I'm the youngest of six boys. That means I'm very loud. I can't help it. My parents had four boys. They tried one more time 6 years later to have a girl, and about an hour and a half before April Fool's Day, about a half hour before I was born, the nurse said, I think I just heard two heartbeats. And my mom said, oh, no, you didn't. There's going to be one, and it's going to be a girl. And about a half hour later, my identical twin brother was born. And about 7 minutes later, I was born. And she cried. She says, the Lord has spoken. If we try again, we'll have triplet boys. We're done with this. So my mother should be nominated for sainthood for having to raise six boys. But, you know, that's my excuse for being loud. But I've been on a crazy journey. You guys are going through a crazy journey here over the next 7 weeks and into the next 3 years. And I just wanted to share this morning about this crazy journey that I've been on personally. It's just amazing what God has done in my life over the past 8 years. It's been amazing. And even more so in my career. Did you know when you give your life to God, He starts messing with every area of it? It's amazing. Things you didn't, you know, like you give your life to Christ and you're like, you can have this area. But then you realize He wants all of it, and then He starts messing with all of it. And I've been on a crazy journey with the church I've been involved with, and I'm going to share some of that story. But I'm here to tell you that there's one thing God's most important message that He wants to get you is that He has a son who died to pay the biggest debt we ever owed, and it's free. It's free. So if you've not had your debt of sin paid for, it can be paid for today by just making Jesus Lord of your life. That's the one key message I want you to get across. The second thing is this, that God has blessed us with resources, financial resources. Has anyone in here been blessed with some this morning? Anybody? I see one hand. Okay, three hands. Some of us have been blessed. I heard some of us say, not enough, right? But the fact is, we've truly been blessed with some, haven't we? And what I know is we may want some more, but God's given us enough to fund what He's called us to do. And today I want to take a look at what God expects us to do with what He's blessed us with. You see, in my life, I had some problems. Have you ever had any problems? How many have at least one problem this morning? It could be a health problem, a money problem, could be a lying problem because your hand's not raised, right? Your problem could be sitting next to you. I don't know what your problem is, but what I know is we'll always have at least one problem. How many of you want to have the same problem 20 years from now? Anybody? Crickets. Okay, here's the deal. What I've discovered is no one wants to have the same problem 20 years in a row. And I know many people have had money problems. And they know they should do something about it. They know they should address it. But it's always tomorrow. And a year passes, no change. 2 years passes, no changes. 20 years later, no changes. And 20 years passes by like that. If you don't believe me, ask the gray hairs and the no hairs here. They will tell you 20 years passes by like that. And we still have the problem. See, I think that's the number one cause of depression in America. Is we have a problem. We know we should address it. We know what we should do to address it many times. Yet we don't. 20 years passes by and we think the problem has beat us. And I can tell you in my life, I had a money problem. In fact, I used to be broke. Has anybody ever been broke? Anybody lived the broke lifestyle? Some of you are raising your head saying, I am broke right now, right? I see that hand. We'll pray for it, right? So I was broke. And let me tell you how broke I was. I was so broke that my wife and I had to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and lick other people's fingers. That's how broke we were. We were so broke that I was kicking a can down the street, and they said, what are you doing? And I said, moving. I mean, I was so broke, I had an average bank balance of $4.13. For real. And I cried like crazy. I can tell you this. Somebody must have had $4.13 before. I'm here to tell you, I was broke. Now, I was saving in my retirement fund, but the last I checked, I wasn't supposed to touch that till retirement.
But the money that came home, I had an amazing, amazing capability to make it disappear. I don't know if you've had. In fact, I had an ability that every single time I got a pay raise, I could spend it all plus a little more. And no matter how much more I made, I managed to spend it plus a little more too. And I found out it was not working for me. And what I'm going to share this morning is a crazy journey that I've been on. Crosspoint is on a crazy journey. And I'm going to share my personal story of what happened in my life. And then I'm going to share what has happened in a church that I got to help start. And I hope that you'll be able to take one or two things from it and be able to go share it with others and apply it in your own life and help take your finances to the next level. And my wife and I, we learned four key things as we went on our journey. Four key things that I want to share with you this morning. My wife's name is Jen. You can start praying for her now. She has to deal with me. And I'm hyper all the time. It's just ridiculous. So what we learned, and the first thing is, and you can scribble it down if you want to keep notes, and that's this. We had to discover the power of working together. Discover the power of working together. We know there's power in working together. I grew up in a church that sang this song, and I'm going to sing it for you, and you'll know why I wasn't up here during worship. We sang this song, maybe you've heard it before, singing, "There's power, power, wonder-working power." Have you heard that? There's power in the blood of Jesus, and there's power when you work together on your finances. There is. There is power, wonder-working power, when you work together on your finances. Genesis 2:24 talks about it. It says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." One flesh. And you're like, "Joe, how in the world does this marriage verse apply?" Well, one thing I know, finances affect marriages. And I also know this. When you get married, you become one. And what I've heard it said before, that if you become one, that means you lose half your brain when you get married. And if only one of you is making the decisions, then you're thinking with half your brain. This is true in my life. See, I was broke and living the broke lifestyle. And I was celebrating if we had a positive balance at the end of the month. The truth is, I was using my credit card to catch my slack. And I was broke. And my wife, it turns out, did not believe that $4.13 in the bank account at the end of the month was the true definition of financial freedom. She felt like there should be at least five or more. See, she's a saver. I'm a spender. And I wouldn't go out and spend too much at lunchtime on Olive Garden. I would go out at lunchtime and accidentally buy a truck. That's how I rolled. I don't recommend it. Do not do that. Bad, right? But here's the deal. I had to discover the power of working together. And listen, it doesn't mean, "Hey, honey, you fill out the top part of the checks and I'll sign them." What it means is I'm going to agree together with my spouse on where this money's going to go that God's blessed us with. We're going to work together on that. Who does the mechanics of paying the bills? That doesn't matter. What matters is that we work together on this stuff. If you're single, you still need accountability, don't you? That's why the Life Together groups are so important at Crosspoint. Because you're doing life together. It's Acts 2:42 in action. Devoting your life to each other and saying, we're going to hold each other accountable through this. If you're single, you can't control you all the time. But when I'm married, whenever I have a bad case of "I want that," my wife has a huge case of "absolutely not." I don't know if that's true in your life. I'm a spender. She's a saver. If you're single and a spender, you really need accountability. And your Life Together group can help hold you accountable. Discover the power of working together. See, what I learned is that when I got married, it was no longer my stuff and her stuff. It became our stuff. It was our possessions, and it was our debt, mostly mine. I am a spender. So I know that many times I meet with people one-on-one in our office with financial coaching appointments, and we hear people all the time say, "That's her debt, that's his debt, I brought this debt in, I'm going to pay it off." Even more, we have people bring in unknown debts to the spouse, financial infidelity. And if you're living life like that, it's time to come clean. It will never get better, ever. And if you think you're going to pay it off without letting them know, you're wrong, because they'll get the bill one day before you get home, and then you're going to have a lot of splaining to do. So just get a fix. Today might be a good day. Discover the power of working together. In fact, I brought my bank account balances to show you what this thing looked like in my life before I got on this thing. See, that's zero at the bottom, and you can see my amazing capability to keep it there. Do you see it? I wonder how many people here this morning would show your bank account balances. That really is my bank account balances. And you saw I got a little bit of money in there for a while, and I managed to make it all leave. You know, man, presto, it all leaves. Shiny stuff syndrome. Ooh, shiny stuff. Yes. So where do I sign? Right? I caught it bad. I am a spender. Discover the power of working together. You can win with your money if you don't work together. But you can't maximize your financial potential and the potential of your marriage like you can if you start agreeing on this stuff. Because what I discovered is this money thing is about a whole lot more than just money. It's about whose dreams get funded. What dream gets funded next? What are we going to do with our lives? Because we only get one life. The second thing that we learned is we have to avoid the debt trap. We have to avoid the debt trap. Have you ever been in it? Proverbs 22:7 says this. It says that the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. You have to avoid the debt trap. I've heard it said that when you're in debt, you need to apply the first rule of holes. You know what the first rule of holes is? When you're in one, you have to stop digging. I don't know what your shovel's name was, but man, I had a lot of names for my shovels, and I kept digging every month. I'm going to share with you my debt journey. I went to Purdue University. Are there any Boilermakers here? Yes! And we are the best, even though we never win, right? And maybe it's because I'm not supporting them because they call me every single day wanting money. But here's the deal. I went there. I had no money. I'm studying for a mechanical engineering degree, so I invited Dad and Sally Mae to fund my college. Do you know her, Sally Mae? Man, it was a terrible relationship. T-R-B-L, terrible. I mean, all she wanted was money, and she would never leave. She always sent me love letters, and all she wanted was money. Sally Mae. Some of you will get that later. And then I went to college my first week in there. They would give me free Purdue stuff if I would just fill out these credit card applications. And I had no job, no money. There's no way they would give me a credit card, right? A week later, I had one. A day later, I had a balance. And I began my three-time loser journey with credit cards. And then I graduated college, and I needed what every new college graduate deserves. What's that? A new car. So I woke up one morning and said, it's time, I'm going. No thought, no planning, no money. I went down and financed it all, plus the sales tax. 105% financing. How many brilliant decisions can I put together in one day, right? 105% financing for a smoking hot Chevy Cavalier. Yeah, you wish you had this car, right? And I'm driving, and then I wasn't complete because I'm a dude. I moved to the South with a job transfer, and so I needed a truck. So I bought it. No money down. Did not get a good deal. And then I wasn't living the life, right, of the full American dream. So I had to buy a house. Six-figure debt. Where do I sign, right? That was a little alarming, but everybody else was doing it, so why not me? And then we needed furniture, so we financed that. Oh, along the way, I needed to step up and ask my girlfriend of 4 years to get married. So I financed the engagement ring and the wedding ring. And then we had the house, so we had to buy furniture. And here's what I know. Every single time I signed the line, I was just digging one spade full deeper. And I spent every dime I'd been blessed with plus some more. And I'll tell you, it was not fun. When I was in college and I had a $20 bill, I was wealthy beyond measure. I mean, I could buy three pizzas from Mad Mushroom Pizza. Grease cardboard, and it was wonderful. Almost as good as school lunch pizza, right? And then I was making good money as an engineer, and I couldn't find a $20 bill to save my life. It was horrible. And I'll tell you what, I finally had to say I've had enough. In fact, I had what I call an IHHE moment. An I have had enough moment. Have you had one before? Maybe you have one with your kids on the way to church this morning, right? That's why you're at the second service, right? You woke up, it was late, and you didn't have the coffee ready, so you had a coffee headache, you're tired. You went to bed too late, and the kids are screaming and fighting already. And your veins are like, right? And you've got one nerve left, and they're standing on it. And they're trying to get ready, and you get to the front door. You're late, and they're standing there with that outfit on, and you have no idea how it happened. You just took pictures with the BlackBerry, and you're going to bribe them later with it to not show it. And then you're like, I don't know why you got that on, but it's too late. Get in the car. All the way here to church, they're screaming, she's on my side, and he touched me. And you're rearranging traffic in the back, right, practicing the laying on of hands. Ah! And you screech in the parking lot, drag in the front door, and say, smile! We're church! Jesus loves you! I've had enough! And then you walk in, hi, pastor, how you doing? I'm doing wonderful. You did it too! Well, I had to have that with my finances. December 2nd, 2002, I said, I've had enough. I'm not living this way anymore. And I said, I don't care if I have to live in a Maytag refrigerator box. I don't care if I have to live in a ditch. And I was serious. I'm not living this way anymore. You know what happens when you get an I have had enough moment, an IHHE moment? Things change. When mama had an IHHE moment and when you're a kid, did things change? I've had enough. Go get a switch. Things change, right? That's what happened with my finances. And in 14 months, my wife and I paid off all of our debt. And listen, 36 years old, and God willing, the creek don't rise, at the end of this year, our house will be paid off in 8 years total. And I'm here to tell you this morning, you can do it too. See, I got to fire myself from corporate America and go to work for a church where the last I checked, they don't give profitability bonuses. We're laying up our treasures in heaven, right? And negotiated myself a massive pay cut. And I'm still smiling and still making progress. You know why? Because I got rid of the debt. Avoid the debt trap. In fact, I brought my bank account balances to show you what happens when you get debt free. You see, the first thing we did is we started a little emergency fund. Because if I did not have savings, I would keep turning to debt whenever the car broke down or the appliance died or the kid got sick or the school sent home yet another fundraiser, right? And then you can see where we got debt free, right? There's a strange thing that happens when you get debt free. Here it is. This could change your life. Seriously, you should get your pens ready. You ready? When you get debt free, you get to keep the money. I didn't know that. You get to keep it. And do you see where we started getting to keep it, right? And then it looks like we fell off the wagon. That's where we started sending 2, 3, and 4 house payments a month to the mortgage. They leave a lot faster when you do that. I challenge you to avoid the debt trap. The Bible's clear, debt is not a sin. Failing to repay debt is a sin, and getting it so over in your head that you can't do what God's called you to do is a sin. What is your debt position? There are some in this room this morning that are debt free, and you know what the freedom is. See, one thing I know is Jesus died to pay a debt we could not repay. And I know that I understood my salvation that much more when I got financially free. See, you get all total freedom. Jesus paid it all. And here's the deal. When I got rid of my financial debt and became financially free, I understood it even more. I am free! And it's awesome! And you can do this too. Avoid the debt trap. Let me ask you some questions about it. What does debt and paycheck to paycheck living do to you and to your marriage? Eliminate stress. I heard it. It causes stress. You can eliminate it by becoming debt-free. How much do you pay each month to debt? Don't say that out loud. How much do you send each month to the bank? You got a number? The average family in here, it's $500 to $1,250 a month, not including the house. Throw in the house, it's $1,250 to $2,000 or more. What else could you do with that money? Quite possibly, you could get the greatest pay raise of your life. If you stop signing up for more debt today, would you agree with me that you'd become debt-free someday? It might be 31.3 months later or years later with the credit card, but you would become debt-free. You can become debt-free. And specifically to the guys, because I see this all the time in my office, the guy many times doesn't want to participate in the financial decisions. They want to go live their life like I was doing and hand it all to the wife to carry the load. Guys, you're called to lead. Be a part of it. Ladies, if you're not part of it, join in. Not for 2 hours, not for 7 days, not for a weekend summit. I'm talking about for 15 to 20 minutes to say, hey, God's blessed us with some. How can we steward this the best? Does that make sense? For those that are messed up in the marriage, and it's messing up your marriage because it's the number one cause of marital strife, and you're saying, I'm almost done. I'm going to check out. All he does is spend money. All she does is spend money. How much did you have when you got married? I was broke. I had a Datsun B210, 1981, with holes in the floorboard, and it rusted off the rear of its frame. It was hot. My wife married me for money. Seriously, how much did you have, really? Maybe if you got rid of stuff, you could go back to that person that you loved in the first place. And I would say this. Consider the fact that marriage is grand. Divorce, that's 100 grand. Yes, it is. Or more. So why not invest in the marriage? Right? If you want to see your 401k magically transformed to a 201k, get a divorce. Or you may have participated in the stock market when it went from a 401k to a 201k to a box of Special K. Anybody have that happen? Yes, it was a special feeling. I'm glad some of it has returned, right? Invest in this stuff. Look, marriage should not be destroyed by finances, but the sad fact is many of us let stuff and money ruin it. It does not have to be that way. The third thing that we learned is you have to develop a plan for your life. Develop a plan for your life. Where are you headed? What makes you wake up in the morning and say, I can't believe I get to do this? When was the last time you woke up and said, I can't believe I get to do this? See, what I know is when you get financially free, you get to start pursuing dreams like you never thought you could. You get to fund other people's dreams. You get to be generous like you never believed. Develop a plan for your life. See, Proverbs 29:18 says this in the King James Version. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Do you have a vision for where you're headed? Do you have a written down plan saying what you want to accomplish with your life? Where are you headed? Do you want to start a business? You want to be a stay-at-home mom? You want to travel to Ethiopia? I don't know where you want to go. Maybe you want to travel as far as Noblesville. I mean, big dreams here, right? But the deal is, if you don't have vision, you don't write it down, many of them will not be accomplished, right? Have to have a vision. See, when you develop a plan for your life, it creates the whole reason for you to plan your finances. It creates the reason for you to plan your finances. See, I have this TV show that I watch. Maybe you watch it. I can't believe I waste all this time watching this stupid show called Lost. Does anybody watch Lost? I mean, I am so glad that show is going to finish in May and be done forever. I mean, I am so lost watching Lost. I mean, and those of you who are not watching it, you're lost hearing me talk about it. But here's the deal. This show is a made-up show that is meant to confuse you beyond belief. And there are people who know absolutely everything there is to know about this show that makes people lost. They know every character. They know the code that Desmond used to have to type in every single day. Right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. They know all the sequence of events. And that's a feat. Yet they're broke. See, I knew everything there was to know about Survivor and every character on it. The Amazing Race. And everyone participating in it. I even have applied. Lost. I knew everything about it. And I was broke. How out of control is that? I knew everything there was to know about a show that was not reality. Yet finances was reality every month. See, when you know what you're put on earth to do, when you develop a plan for your life and it gives you a reason to plan your finances, listen. It's okay if you watch those shows, because I still watch Lost, but I'm not broke anymore, right? So I justify it now, and I'm so glad it still finishes. Did I say that? I'm glad it's finishing, right? It creates a reason for you to plan your finances. Where do you want to be in 1 year? Do you have a plan to get there? Will it take money? The answer is yes. What about 5 years? What about 10 years? What about 20 years? This afternoon in the financial learning experience that I'll be teaching about a half hour after this, they're going to feed you. Can you believe that? Provide child care, and you can stay even if you haven't registered. We'll teach tools that I use to become financially free. And I'm going to give you 5 minutes to write down on paper what you're called to do in your life. It'll be life transforming for many people in this room. Over half of the people in our classes have never in their adult life wrote down on paper what they feel like God's calling them to complete with their life. And that's why many of us end up at the end of life wondering, how in the world did I get here? Develop a plan for your life. The final thing is this. You can have fun managing your money together. You can have fun managing your money together. And some of you are like, what, Joe? Seriously, I was with you until now, but now you put fun and money in the same sentence, and they do not belong there. It's like jumbo shrimp, right? Why do they say jumbo shrimp? I don't care. The biggest shrimp is still a shrimp, right? Right? Jumbo, it doesn't work. And many of us believe that fun and money can't belong in the same sentence, but I'm here to tell you, you can. And it is so fun to be able to fund your dreams. And it's even more fun to fund somebody else's dreams. And it's even more fun to fund them anonymously. It is awesome. See, Psalm 37:4 says this, delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, does it say delight yourselves in a four-wheeler? No, I wish it did, but it doesn't. Does it say delight yourself in stainless steel appliances and granite countertops? I wish it did, but it doesn't. Does it say delight yourself in your career? Doesn't. It says in the Lord. And what I know is, when you turn it all over to him, you'll recognize that the desires of your heart will change. See, when I had nothing, I would walk through the mall and say, oh man, when we get money, we are buying that. Then I got debt-free and financially free. I could walk in the mall and buy any of it, and I just don't want it. Some of it I buy rarely, right? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Let me show you a way I've had fun. See, I got debt-free except for my house, and all I had left was the house. And that's a huge debt. Would you agree with me? That's huge. And so I am a nerd engineer. I've not rejected my roots. I'm not mad at anybody about it. So I'm just a complete and utter nerd, and I'm going to prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt now. See, I pulled out my PC computer, not Mac, PC. That means I'm an engineer, right? And I pulled up PowerPoint, or I can say PowerPoints, and I outlined my house, and I put little squares in it. They're not square feet. They're just squares. And I said, I counted up the number of squares. Can you see my nerd self sitting there counting up squares? Are you laughing at me? Okay, I'm going to try to recover here. And I added up the number of squares, divided it in what I paid for the house, and every single square represents $102.92 of principal. And every time I pay off $102.92 of principal, I get a color in a square. I'm not sure you're laughing with me. Okay, so I am a nerd. And now it made it bite-sized, right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Here it is. And every time I had $102.92, I could go out for a nice meal and night on the town or color in a square. Sometimes we'd color in the square. Sometimes we go out for a night on the town. But it made it bite-sized. Now, this was in northern Indiana. For a four-year period from 2002 to 2006, I lived near Goshen, Indiana. And one-fourth of my neighbors were old order Amish. Horse and buggy, clippity-clop Amish. And on my way to church on Sunday morning, we would have to play dodge buggy. This is important. I'll get back to that in a second. See, I got debt-free except for the house, and I felt like it was possibly a word from the Lord. Looking back on it, I'm positive it wasn't now. But back then, I thought it was that we should put a man cave in the basement. Who's with me? I see that hand. Yeah! I'm talking about a surround sound that'll knock a house off its foundation 6 blocks away. I'm talking about flat panels, leather couches. Yeah! And I saved up money, and you can save up money really fast when you're debt-free except for the house. And we did, and we have the money, and we're going to do this. One morning, on the way to church, getting ready to go to church, my daughter, who was 4, stopped by the refrigerator and saw the Sangle family home payoff spectacular and said, man, we sure are in a whole lot of house debt. Do you see it? It's the old thermometer thing, right? The fundraiser thing where you fill in the thermometer. Same thing, but it makes it visual, and my 4-year-old got it. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower servant to the lender. The verse right before it, Proverbs 22:6, says, train up a child the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. And I said, she did not just say that. I rebuke you. We were getting ready to go. We went out, drove dodge buggy to church. And they're still stuck at about 15 miles an hour. But we lost something when we went to cars. Did you know that? I mean, seriously, their cars have baby cars. Think about it. We need a new model in the spring. There he is, galloping around the pasture. Some of you will get that later. How awesome would it be if you walked out and said, oh, baby, our Tahoe and Camry had a baby Accord last night. That'd be awesome. I'd vote for that. But we played dodge buggy all the way to church. I have no clue what the pastor said. All I know is it was probably profound. And I knew that the man cave was doomed. We came home, we wrote the biggest check to Wells Fargo ever and let our daughter color in her room. I'm here to tell you, that's fun. You can have fun with this stuff. And I challenge you, that if you need to take the crazy journey and you have no hope, you can do it. If you're already winning, are you maximizing it for Him? Let me tell you about the crazy journey that God set me on. I thought I was on a journey to be a Fortune 500 CEO. God said, that's hilarious. Let me tell you what you're really going to do. And so I got to help start a church in January 16th, 2000. And I'm telling you, it's been a crazy journey. God robbed my heart. I got to help start this church in Anderson, South Carolina. And this is what happened. We started meeting, 15 families in a farmhouse, and then we moved to a chapel. And we said, what would happen if all we did was make the name of Jesus famous one life at a time? What would happen if a bunch of people got all out sold out to making the name of Jesus famous one life at a time? And we started meeting, we started talking about it, and some people started showing up, and baby, we started growing. We were 190 people after 1 year. We were growing. And some people were getting their lives changed, and it was amazing. And we needed to make our first big move. And our first big move was to move from this little chapel on this college campus. Believe it or not, it's named Anderson University in Anderson, South Carolina. So being a boy who grew up in Indiana, I'm confused all the time, right? And so I'm sitting there at Anderson University, and our pastor said, we need to move to the Fine Arts Center across campus. The Fine Arts Center is a 1970s-style 1,100-seat theater with candy apple red seats. I mean, it just glows. And we're like, it seats 1,100. We're running 190. And this town is 26,000 people. I'm not sure. Right?